But at 8 minutes past 7 o'clock, always sad when you play that you admire because they have done everything they can to make themselves a great clubman and give their all. And that was Andrew Corazza from the Carlton Football Club. He joins us now. First up, Andrew, welcome to the program.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
And congratulations from both Plough and myself. Well done on your great career.
Absolutely.
Let's just go back, because I remember being at a TAC medal night. I remember it was about 2001. And you're an Oakley Charger, have I got that right?
I was, yeah.
I saw your show reel, and I don't know his table up, and I'm thinking, have a look at this boy. They said, oh, he can play, he's going to get onto a list. But as you've been able to attest, it's not quite that simple.
No, it's not for some, but yeah, look, I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have changed a thing about how everything's gone. So, but yeah, there was certainly some hard yards at the start in trying to make my way. But yeah, look, that's all part of it. Not everyone's created equal, so some guys do it a certain way, and other guys do it differently.
Two rookie listings, but you finally break through at Carlton. Is there a time that you can recall when you knew, yep, I've got some chance, I've jumped a major hurdle? What was it, do you recall when it might have been?
Probably in my second or third year at Carlton, I sort of felt like I could play at AFL level. I played the best part of 60 games in the twos before I got a look in at the Blues, so I felt like I was certainly well prepared physically. I felt like I could match it with most guys. It was just getting up to the speed of the game. But, yeah, I'd probably say in my second or third year at Carlton, I started to feel like I'd sort of cemented a spot in the side. And if I played well, it was my spot to lose.
Andrew, congratulations on what's been an excellent career. You know, best and fairest winner at your footy club. You've done a heck of a lot of things over the course. One of the things that I always admired about you was you got all the big jobs. Did you actually enjoy that challenge of taking on some of the great players of the competition?
Yeah, I absolutely did. As nervous and as anxious as I would get going to the games, knowing that I'm playing on Scott Pendlebury or Selwood or Dane Swan or whoever those guys were, I sort of felt like it did bring out the best in me. So certainly not to say that I beat those guys every time, but I certainly felt like I had to take my game to another level. And and I don't know, I sort of enjoyed the fact of knowing that when I walked off the ground, it was fairly easy to measure how I'd gone. My opponent was X, and how did I go against him? Did he beat me or did I beat him? It was fairly easy for me to measure whether I'd played a good game or not. But I love that part of my career, the career where I was able to match up against the best midfielders in the game, and a lot of the time hold my own.
Just to keep that going for a second, for some of the young footballers that might be listening to the show tonight, the balance of taking the bloke on and call it tagging, but taking a little bit of his impact out of the game versus still being a damaging player yourself. I mean, I thought you got that balance and handled that balance really well. For young footballers, how difficult is it to get the balance of the two, the offence and defence, right?
Yeah, look, it is really hard. I think when I first started doing the run-with roles, I was very, very defensive, and I would, turn my back on the ball and just look at my man and try and him be my singular focus. But as my confidence grew, I sort of worked out that, the best players in the game,
they don't want to chase you.
No, they don't. and I've sort of found that if I could take 10 or 20 or 30% of their focus off of winning the ball, that's what makes Nate Fyfe a great player. That's what makes Sam Mitchell a great player. If you can have them going to a contest or a stoppage and have 50% of their attention looking at you, wondering what you're going to do, you're moving towards taking away their strength. So that was how I approached it, trying to create a bit of confusion in their mind as to what I was going to do. I suppose sometimes I opened the door a little bit for those guys and gave them a little bit of a look at the ball rather than a Ryan Crowley who just basically puts the clamps on and his opponent doesn't get a touch. So I enjoyed chasing the footy around. I felt like it was something I was strong at. So it was, yeah, that was just how I went about it.
187, you listed at, and when you joined the competition in 2002, you were about, I suppose, the normal size for a midfield, if normal be one, around the 187. You've actually seen the land of the Giants descend over the last 12 years. Bontempelli, Fife, Paddy Cripps. Can you believe how big midfielders are now, how strong, and most importantly, how aerobically brilliant they are?
Yeah, that's been the biggest change. You know, you look at like a Nat Fife or a David Mundy, they're sort of average size for midfielders now. If you're my height coming into the game now, I sort of feel like you have to have something really special, whether that's, you know, you're an elite decision maker or you've got great speed, like a Mark Murphy sort of got both of those things. You've got to have something like that. You know, I was looking at Paddy Cripps the other day, standing next to Michael Jamieson. They're about the same height, the same sort of build. You know, and Jamo's playing on guys that are 6 foot six and, you know, 100 plus kilos, and Cripps, I suppose that's a real strength of his, and the same with Bontempelli and, you know, lots of guys out there now. It certainly is a changing game. It's a view into the future of AFL footy.
I must ask you, one of the best games I've ever had the good fortune to call in my sort of career is that qualifying final in Perth 2011, which I think the final score is 101-98. Final quarter goes 34 minutes. And at the far left-hand end, let's call it the sitting end, I can still see Andrew Walker. Was he pushed in the back? Would he have had the kick on the siren?
I'd like to think so, but looking back on my career, that was by far my most enjoyable season, that season. You know, coming, I think we finished fifth or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was a great feeling that year, arriving at the ground most days, knowing that you know, that if we played to our standard, we were going to win. And it hasn't happened too many other times, unfortunately, in my 14 odd years. So, but you know, that was a really good campaign, that one. It could have gone either way, and it would have been nice for Walks to get that free kick, but unfortunately, it didn't go our way.
Just for absolute passion and physical effort and everything you had to beat over there, is that near enough the best as a whole game that you've played in? As part of the Carlton Football Club was involved in?
Yeah, I'd say so. We were sort of firing on all cylinders that year, and we had a young group, but we were still playing a really exciting brand of footy. And, you know, before I'd ever played, I think I probably played about 100 games before I played a finals match. Mm-hmm. I think my first finals match was my 99th game. I just couldn't believe it, the lift in intensity and just how hard and how, especially at the contest, how intense everything was. And I really do cherish those finals games that I was able to play in. And you know, I do feel, you know, a bit disappointed I didn't get to play in a grand final, didn't get to play in a preliminary final. I would have absolutely loved that. But that's just how the cookie crumbles and just the way things go. But, finals footy is fantastic.
Well, I remember getting out of the Qantas Club that night and your president, Sticks, I think he looked more exhausted than some of the games he actually played in. He was shot that night.
It truly was one of the most extraordinary games of football.
It was brilliant. Last one, Andrew, life after footy, what are you doing? I read earlier in the year with interest that umpiring might be a possibility.
Yeah, it certainly is going to be a possibility. I'm also a qualified electrician, so I've got a business that I run that I'm going to go into with a friend of mine. But the umpiring thing, I'm really keen on it. I feel like it is a big commitment, and if I feel like I've just got a feel in myself, I know that I can make the commitment 110%, and something I'll have to sit down with my family and go through. I've chatted to the guys at the AFL a couple of times, and you know, the way everything's set up, as I'm sure you know, play with your son going through it now, it's a great program, and you know, they do an amazing job, the boys. So you know, if I do go through with it, you know, I want to be able to commit to it 100% and give it everything, sort of like I have with my footy, and aim to be, you know, as good an umpire as I can be. But you know, the next month or so, I think I'm just gonna take some time to catch my breath and sort of have a good think about everything, and then work out whether I can go and attack it.
Fantastic chat to you, Andrew. Whatever it is, you will do it with. The measure that made you an 195-4-5-game player in the competition. Appreciated your time tonight. Thank you very much for joining us on Sports Day.
No worries. Thanks.
Andrew Corazzo, retiring Carlton star. Final game against Hawthorn, and Carlton fans, like Cade Simpson, they are peas in a pod. It's just, it's 100% of the time.
Yeah, and that's all you can ask for ever.